That was Heather. My name is Bill, and I'm still loving the fact that I get to be the pastor of this church and this congregation. This has been a fantastic week of hearing from many of you related to our challenge from last week to bless people. And I want to let you know we're going to continue on in this series, and we're going to invite you to another habit this week, but we're also going to ask that you continue in the habit from last week, so we're going to kind of build our habits together. But I want to remind you what this is all about. For several weeks, we were involved and invested in a series on Jesus' teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. And it is through that teaching that we were able to see this picture of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was painting for us, this upside-down kingdom, how the things that Jesus said are important, the things that Jesus said were preferable, actually don't match up to what the world sort of teaches us. He's actually giving us an entirely different worldview, typically, than what we've come to understand from the way that we've grown up, the messaging that we've received from the world around us. And so in that series, we chewed and chewed on that stuff and asked that you would rethink your worldview, rethink how you see the world around you and yourself in it. And then we're rolling into this series called React. Wow, there's a theme that's happening here. And the whole idea behind this is that once we experience this unrestricted love that Jesus talks about so much, that's sort of the foundation of life under the rule and reign of God, which is his kingdom. Once we encounter it, once it begins to shift and move who we are and becomes part of our operating system and how we connect with other people, then it ought to necessarily affect how we behave, how we act, right? Our thinking and our believing should really shape how we move around the world around us, how we behave towards ourselves and towards one another. So we've been in this, and I want you to just take a jump back with me to the text from last week, because it's still the text for this week, to see how the early church reacted when they encountered Jesus, when they were overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, this unrestricted love sort of made manifest forever in the world around us that dwells in us, right? This spirit that empowers our behavior change, that empowers our worldview change. It gives us a different lens and different motivations. It equips us to behave differently. Once they encountered that, their behavior changed. And it looked like this. It looked like me turning this thing on. It looked like, could you just give me that thank you, this first slide? It looked like this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I just want you to catch this real quick. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this word. They devoted themselves to it. It shaped their behavior. They actually began to orient their life around these things as a reaction to this unrestricted love, to this life in the kingdom. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. It says that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. This is a reaction, right? This is not normal life. It wasn't normal then, and it's really not normal now for a group of a community of people to orient their lives, to really design their lives around these things. So there's a reaction. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They even sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Not normal, right? Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. Every day. They broke bread in their homes. Oh, one more. That was too hard. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And then the end of that text says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, those who were being rescued, those who were having their worldview exchanged, those who were having their patterns of behavior exchanged one for another. The Lord continued to add to them the people that would become this community who would react to his kingdom, to react to his reign. We started talking last week about how when we encounter that, our behavior should change too. When our worldview gets exchanged, our behavior should get exchanged. And just like them, our behavior change and worldview change is also empowered by the Spirit. Also given new lenses to see the world around us. And I'm not talking just some sort of metaphysical construct. I'm talking an actual physical change in the way that we see things. I mean, it still comes through the same sort of organs, but when it gets to our brain, we interpret it differently. And these behaviors seem to shape the habits, shape the values and reinforce what they were seeing and what they were hoping to see, right? The promises that had been kept so far and the promises they were still hoping for, the behaviors seemed to shape how they would run after those, and so must ours. So last week we looked at blessing, and if you could just give us that slide for blessing, just to remind us, because again, we're not moving on past it. Last week we talked about the habit of blessing other people. So to bless someone is to build someone up, to encourage them, and to increase their well-being. We took a little stop again on this unrestricted love idea and talked about how that is the atmosphere in which life flourishes. So this behavior of blessing, having a habit of blessing, orienting your life around blessing other people, encouraging them, building them up, increasing their well-being, actually is participating in the kingdom come. It actually makes a change in the atmosphere for your life and theirs. It's kind of an amazing thing that we get to be a part of. So this habit of blessing, we asked you to do to bless three people. And I think there was a slide in there. I'm just going to ask you if you, I know you want to take a nap, but if you could just click on through for me. The clicker is, oh, shoot, one more back. Just go back. Leave it on blessing, right? We asked you to bless three people. Sorry, one person. I'm being blessed right now. You guys are all joyful faces, very encouraging. We ask you to bless three people, one person from Five Stones, one person not, and the third person could be either or, but at least specifically, you know, just one person from here. We want to make sure that you are definitely blessing somebody here, definitely blessing somebody outside these walls and outside this community of faith, and then kind of the freestyle, right, whatever comes to you. Who did that this week? A few of you did that this week. And like I said, I was blessed this week to be getting emails and texts and notes in envelopes, like describing the stories of what you all encountered. And I want to ask, so those of you that participated in it, this, you just shouted out, right? How was that? Was it harder than you thought it was going to be? Easier than you thought it was going to be? What was that experience like for you? Fun. It was fun. It was easier than you thought it was going to be. Who else enjoyed this experience? What was your experience like? How would you describe it? Easy. It was easy. It was fun. Anybody else? Rewarding. Anybody else? It relieved your stress? Oh. I was going to say, we could probably sell that, right? It reduced your own stress. How about that? What else? You had to be intentional, and it took time. One more thing on your plate, right? One more thing to add. Going back then to that text where they actually devoted their lives around it, right? They had to be intentional. They had to design their life around the thing, the habits, the patterns of behaving that would shape and sort of hold up their new worldview. Yes. You felt connected. That's good. These are all good things. Now, I didn't really prep anybody for this, but would any of you like to share one of your stories about either blessing someone or being blessed? Michelle. Awesome. Fantastic. You might not have all heard that. Somebody was struggling. She wrote a card, handwritten note, right? Just reminding them that they were seen and known and loved. That's pretty cool. What else? Who else? Did anybody get blessed this week besides me? So you got blessed by blessing someone else? Okay. Because remember, that the challenge was one person from, at least one person that isn't, and then freestyle, right? Choose. So am I the only one? You all just chose to bless me, right? All of you faithful, obedient people. Oh, boy, what a lucky guy I am. You did? I said that? And it helped you? That's kind of rad. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Abby shared her experiences via email with me, and they were pretty powerful, and I just think it would be great for everyone to hear some of what you're comfortable sharing. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that. So for those of you who want to be challenged again this week to bless at least three people, take all of this in, right? People felt a reduction in their stress. Couldn't we all use that? People felt great about it, right? It did take some intentionality and some time, but it was good. It felt good. It reinforced this idea that there is a kingdom of heaven, there is a kingdom, a reign of God that is putting things back the way that they should be, and we get to participate in that by building people up. Cindy. Yeah, that's a really cool part. That was part of my experience, is actually getting to participate with what God was doing or wanted to do in someone's life, and my intentional encouragement actually helped with that. I was with God doing something in someone else's life. It was pretty rad to do for me. I love that experience. Well, I hope that you continue to think about this, because that challenge to develop that habit isn't going away, but we're going to move on to the next one, and it's one of my favorite ones, and soon you will realize why, but it is the habit of eating. If you didn't like the idea of blessing, maybe you like the idea of eating. And it came from that text that we just read a few moments ago, this idea that they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, right? Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. That was part of the reaction of the early church, the early believers, right? This is the pattern of behavior that was sort of underwritten by their worldview change. So the habit then, the challenge is that you would intentionally eat with three people this week, at least one of whom is not a member of the church, right? I will intentionally eat with three people this week, at least one of whom is not a member of this church. But definitely eat with somebody in the church too. We're gonna show you a couple of practices of that today as we move through our morning together. But this is the idea. So what's the big deal about eating together? So this idea of eating together, it's kind of a big deal in most cultures, and it still is in ours, although I don't think we're as intentional about it. But we see Jesus doing this stuff a lot. We see Jesus eating with people a lot. And I just want to make a note of this, that it really is about sort of this idea of hospitality, right? And I was, so this habit sort of firms up our capacity, builds up our capacity to be hospitable, to extend hospitality to people, right? Which is a value of the kingdom of heaven, right? Jesus demonstrated for us. So this idea of hospitality, I looked at this word and there's our English word and it comes from a Latin word, it comes from another word in another language, and I kind of kept pulling the thread on that and traced it back to the fact that there it is. Hospitality actually has at its root this idea of to have power. Understanding of having power. So hospitality is about using the power that we have, deploying it, the power that we have to make others feel welcomed and seen and accepted. Does that make sense to you? Because we all have minutes in our day. We all have a grocery budget. We all, have these spaces that we inhabit that we can invite people into. We're equipped, right, to deploy this power to welcome people into an experience where their life can flourish, right? Called the kingdom of heaven. And one of the ways we do that is by eating with them, by using the power we have to make them feel welcome, to use this unrestricted love, right, to share it with them, to bring them into our space and say that they belong. In fact, that was sort of unwritten, unspoken idea of Jesus's day, that whomever you ate with, sort of put a stamp on them, like you claim them, like you belong together, your community, I accept you, right? And so all of these stories of Jesus eating with people, who did he eat with? Does anybody have any recollection of some of those stories who Jesus ate with? Tax collector, which is people weren't looked upon very fondly, right? Sort of the worst of the worst. Who else? Who else did he eat with? Sinners, which covers everyone else, right? Like these are specific people. Who else? Like think of them. Who are these people that he's eating with? Outcasts, right? Prostitutes, right? Think of this. Jesus has this pattern. He knows the culture he's in. He knows the rules. He knows the cultural values and what they say about you, how those shaped our behavior. But Jesus is like, hey, look at this. I have this unrestricted love thing. I want to test drive it. I'm going to eat with you. And we're going to flip this thing upside down. I'm going to claim you that you belong, that we're together, that I accept you. I could tell you stories in my own life, multiple stories of being in other countries, being super uncomfortable, not really having great facility with the language, and finding myself at the table with my hosts in those places, and it was there at the table that everything was okay. Every time we got to the table, it was like, this is home base. Like, we can be humans here together, no matter what else is happening in the world around us, no matter how hard we're working on something, or no matter how much struggle we're going through, when we get to the table, it's a place of acceptance, of belonging, no matter our differences. And those stories blow our minds now, and they did then. They got Jesus in trouble, those people that he ate with. And I'm not suggesting that you get yourself in trouble. Yes, I am. I'm suggesting that you get yourself in trouble. Because in your families and where you work and how you've come up to be who you are right now today has been informed by values that aren't kingdom values. All of us. That's why this is so important. Not just to rethink about it, but actually engage in habits that will build them up, that will reinforce it, right? That will help us not only to understand it clear, but actually begin to live it out and participate in this kingdom life right here and right now. There's power that we have to welcome people into a sense of belonging and acceptance. So they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They used that power. There's another example where Jesus is eating with people. And again, these are people that maybe weren't really the best people. They certainly weren't the cream of the crop, members of society. And these were the people that were following Jesus. We call them his disciples. And this illustration that Jesus puts on display for us of using the power of unrestricted love to welcome people into a place of acceptance and belonging, he does so in this event called the Last Supper. Some of you hear that and you go, oh, we're talking about communion. And indeed, we're going to experience part of communion today, the bread and the cup part, which for our faith family that this church is a part of, we actually experience three parts of communion normally. We move through this movement where we actually do what Jesus did. So that evening, he washed his followers' feet. And so we participate in that. Everyone here is like, glad we're not doing that today. But it's a movement of vulnerability, right? To take off your shoes and let someone touch your feet, or to touch someone else's yucky feet. There's an essence of vulnerability in there. And the lesson that we learned about this is that you have to move. You can only arrive at intimacy through vulnerability. By being exactly who you are, by connecting with people exactly who you are, unlovely parts and all. And then, as brethren, which is our faith family, we move from this washing of feet to this meal that we call the love feast, the unrestricted sharing of love feast. And there's this intimacy, right? This is the whole idea of sharing a meal. It's brought home. Sharing a meal together is so radically important. And then we understand as we engage that story that this is the night, the Last Supper, right? The night that he was betrayed, that he takes the bread, right? And he gives thanks for it, right? He breaks it and he shares it with his followers who react later on by breaking bread together and eating together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people around them, because they were participating in the essence of love itself. They were engaging in a practice that allowed the atmosphere of heaven to begin to infiltrate, the aroma of love to begin to fill the room as the meal is prepared and shared, right? It's powerful. Jesus describes this as his body broken for us. Sort of a symbol of this ultimate rejection that makes a way for ultimate acceptance. So the very illustration of God's love for us in this way is shown through a meal. Later on, he takes the dessert cup, right? You know this story, and he says, this is my blood. The blood, this is the symbol of the new covenant. This here is a symbol, an illustration of the new way of living that's made available to us through Jesus. Such a powerful illustration of acceptance, such a powerful illustration of being equipped and empowered ourselves to extend acceptance and belonging to each other. So the bread and the cup, part of the meal. And Jesus tells his followers, now that you've seen all this stuff that I've done, the washing of the feet, the sharing of the meal, the practicing of the bread and the cup, you'll be blessed if you do these things. If you live a life that's open to vulnerability, like welcoming people into your home to sit around your table and eat your food, your chili, that we're going to do here in a little while. There's a vulnerability to that. Will they like it? Will it meet their standards? Will it offend them? Will they like me? Like all these things, right? We open ourselves up to vulnerability like Jesus did. Move into a space of intimacy that we were created for. And all of this informed through the power of a simple meal. So here's what's going to happen. There are note cards on the ends of your pews, or maybe you were handed them as you came in. But we're going to repeat the exercise from last week where we asked you to write down the name or names of the three people you were going to bless. We're going to ask you to kind of connect with this exercise as the band comes up and prepares for a time of Eucharist, celebrating this life that we have now before us to live. And I want you to begin to think about who it is you're going to eat with, who it is you're going to invite to coffee and a Danish, whatever eat looks like for you. It's this act of intentionally being together. So one person from here, one person not from here at least, and then you choose. So begin to think about this and reflect on it. And then we're going to invite you to come up and experience the bread and the cup together. The ultimate symbols of acceptance and belonging. And so as the band plays, here's what I would like for us to do together. I would like for us to initially enter into a time of prayer. We're just going to spend some time hanging out with Jesus here in this space, asking him to continue to inform our worldview, asking him to put on our hearts whomever it is that he wishes us to intentionally carve out space for, to spend this time for, to use the power we have to pull people into an atmosphere of acceptance and belonging. So we're going to enter into prayer, and then I'm going to lead you in a little bit other reflection. And as you feel led, then, my wife and I are going to be here to offer you the bread and cup. And we're going to do this method where we pull off a hunk and dip it in the cup. And we're not going to hold it and all take it together. So as soon as you dip, you can take that meal and thereby say yes to Jesus' invitation to intimacy with him. Thereby say yes to Jesus' empowerment for you to extend that out into the world around you. And then you can return as our worship team continues to play and to sing over us. Maybe you've had people come to mind, and so as we go through this process,